Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Archon by Roman Prokofiev. Translated by Irene Woodhead and Neil P. Woodhead. Narrated by Phil Thron. Interlude. Prometheus. The Black Moon. Once again, a sensation of absolute presence took over my body. It was me there, dashing through the sky, my powerful wings carrying me over a ragged, mangled terrain which pulsated with blindingly blue surges of A-energy. Their piercing power chilled me to the bone. It was as if the fragile, fractured shell of the Black Moon harbored a throbbing, fiery heart within. The black spikes parted, enveloped in a quivering A-glow, revealing a precipitous fissure. This was a bullet hole of continental proportions, a deep, gaping tunnel leading down into the planetoid's guts. A pale shimmer surrounded its mouth, which descended into impenetrable darkness. Because, although I couldn't quite see them, there were other incarnators shooting through space next to me, whose presence I could either glimpse or second-guess, we dove into it unhesitatingly, as if following a long, familiar route. Once again, Prometheus's voice rang through my head.
The Black Moon is a complex, multidimensional object. You could call it a combination of extra-dimensional planes, a cluster of worlds, great and small, grouped within a single structure. Our ancestors must have known it, so they weren't firing blindly during their last battle. In some of these cavities, we discovered the destroyed remains of ancient Terran spaceships, whose attacks must have destroyed the coordination center of the Black Moon, causing it to careen out of control. Which was the reason the Earth wasn't destroyed at the time. It also explained the erratic behavior of those contaminated, as the Black Moon had lost contact with the shard that controlled it.
The pitch blackness receded into a spiraling labyrinth of intertwined rocky tunnels. Prickly shadows lurked within them, endless burrows dug by some gargantuan worms, swirling and twisting in the most unexpected directions. Finally, they brought us out to more weird structures reminiscent of the Shay's engineering, sharp edges merging into smooth arcs, hole-riddled pillars, polygonal blocks of anthracite hovering in midair. We flew past some gigantesque stairs, finding ourselves in a room of equally ginormous proportions. It was filled with a scarlet haze which revealed bizarre, sinister outlines within. The pitch-black floor appeared strangely alive, its surface rippling in every direction. It took me a moment to realize it was completely coated with a layer of the familiar black substance. Darkness.
We know that all Shay communities had control centers. This was the root principle which decided the structure of their civilization. So, what about the control center of this particular Black Moon? Without telling you what it cost us to locate it, this is what's left of it.
We kept moving through the scarlet haze like shadows or bodiless spirits, flittering through it without touching down. Mangled, fire-gutted structures crowded around us. Finally, the outline of a large sphere, long dead and burned inside out, loomed out of the mist. Strangely enough, it had preserved its easily recognizable form, even though the many polygonal tiles which had once formed an infinitely complex design of its surface had long crumbled to the floor, exposing the black hollow within. There was no doubt about it. The controlling nucleus of the Black Moon was an identical twin of the Stellar's, the one I was facing right now. This was a mind-numbing epiphany, because it could only mean one thing.
See now?
Prometheus's voice sounded tired.
This is the third and most important thing you need to know. The Black Moon was controlled by a stellar identical to the one we discovered on board the Bluebird. The only difference was, the one on the Black Moon had been infected with darkness. The rest is easy to surmise. The way the Shard's system functions is very similar to the control centers built by the Bainashay, but with the Shard itself as its pinnacle. The Shard's actual incarnation dwells in the safety of the Edge. The system's second tier is made up by autonomous stellars which control hundreds of black moons. Or should I say hundreds of bullets shot into space to search for inhabited planets? The third tier is formed by Stellar's own effectors, which run on the so-called original darkness. And finally, the last tier is made up of actual contaminated creatures, Azuric beings who are forced into the Shard's hierarchy by synthetic darkness, an artificial xenocyte built for that particular purpose. We have no doubt that it was the landing of the Bluebird on Earth which must have triggered the Black Moon's arrival, drawn by the Azuric aura of Bluebird's stellar. Because on top of all of its other functions, any stellar is a powerful A-transmitter capable of contacting the worlds over the Edge. Its aura leaves a stable imprint, a beacon, in fact, which must have allowed them to discover our planet. Could it be the Shay's original wicked design? Or had they released their Bluebirds into space simply because they'd run out of options? Your guess is as good as mine. One thing's for sure, this particular stellar can control the Black Moon. It can overrun its systems, bring it back to life, and steer it away from the Earth's orbit, which is the only way I see to save the planet and humanity.
He heaved a sigh and fell silent, banking into another circle around the dead nucleus of the Black Moon. When he spoke again, his voice rang with increasing confidence.
There are no other options. You know, initially, we were trying to save the Earth by recreating the system our ancestors had conceived. The First Legion, the Terminals Network, the system of monoliths, the alerts, which allowed us to promptly mop up any A-zones and kill A-monsters. All of these were the results of our initial attempts. Until finally, we realized that we were trying to firefight the symptoms instead of eliminating the actual cause, which is the Black Moon, its A-radiation, and its fragments which rip the fabric of our dimension apart, opening portals to over the Edge. Until we get rid of the Black Moon, the Earth will continue to mutate, leaving no place for humanity on its own planet. So this is your top priority. You must deliver our nucleus to the Black Moon and connect it to its control systems. You have to work out how to do it. Then just point the Black Moon at the sun and steer it toward it. You must destroy it. Yes, that would mean the end of Stellar, and with it the end of all us incarnators. But at least that might give all Terrans a chance to reclaim their home planet. I know it sounds audacious, but as I say, we have no other option. This is the only choice available to us. In a moment, I'm going to activate another neural seal which will modify Stellar's key protocol.
Prometheus paused.
This is exactly why I kept leading you to the nucleus. It's simple, really. Those who created the stellar system took all the necessary safety precautions. Had our intentions become known to Stellar earlier, it would have attempted to eliminate the threat to its own existence. The only persons with authority to access the nucleus and modify its key protocols are Grand Legates, who are essentially the system's admins. And I'm afraid I just won't be able to escape the Black Moon without losing both my rank and identity. Why, may you ask? Let me show you.
The image shifted imperceptibly. I felt I was in a different place now, shaped as a gigantic octahedron cut into rock. Its surface resembled giant polygonal honeycombs, each of their cells big enough to easily hold a group of people. Some of the cells were filled with egg-like shapes, stuffed chaotically inside, their surfaces veined with the pulsating threads of azuric patterns. Most of the eggs appeared broken or otherwise damaged, the structure's walls cracked and fissured, the broken floor tiles rearing up like sliding tectonic plates. the sarcophagi, large and small, in every shape and form. But it was them, exactly like the one I'd left when I'd come round back on Earth with my memory wiped clean. It looked like Prometheus was about to show me how it had all begun. He spoke off-camera, giving a running commentary on what I was seeing. Both his attitude and the tone of his voice were ever so slightly off now, as if he'd recorded the contents of the neural seals at different times, or had overdubbed a pre-recorded video.
"The troops we'd sent to the Black Moon turned out to be by far not enough. I lost. We didn't make it. Our fleet had perished. The First Legion was vanquished. Lots of people died. All of our camps were destroyed by outbreaks. The survivors chose to escape in the few good ships, abandoning all the others. That's the human factor for you."
I could hear the bitter smirk in his voice. It was as if he'd seen the ugly underbelly of the humanity he'd always believed in.
"A few isolated groups were forced to go underground, ours included. We found the surviving sarcophagi. They offered us a possibility to escape, but still they didn't have enough seats to evacuate everyone."
I could see people, or incarnators, rather, standing all around me. So many of them. Although I couldn't count them in the surrounding haze, there must have been at least several dozen of them. Tattered capes, dull dented armor, faces wrapped in dirty rags. There was nothing left of the First Legion's pride and glory, just a bunch of desperate ragamuffins, almost devoid of any sign of humanity. How long had they been ambling through the underground tunnels of the Black Moon? Years? Decades? Prometheus's peculiar eyesight allowed me to make out some almost ethereal shapes among them, spectral creatures virtually devoid of physical bodies, held together with spirals of darkness flowing within them. Darkness was everywhere here. It glinted in the Inca's eyes and flowed in the joints of their cyber armor, filling them from inside. All of them had become possessed. But I still couldn't see Prometheus himself. He just wouldn't show himself to me, either unwittingly or by design.
"I want you to understand, the First Legion was my creation. I just can't abandon those who put their trust in me. I still have a chance to save them, or at least I should try. If you can hear me now, it means we've done it. Keep watching. You've got to know all this."
"All the Umbra has been loaded aboard," a male voice reported. "If we launch all the surviving sarcophagi at once, it just might overload the star's surveillance systems. That might give us a chance to break through." I suddenly recognized the speaker. A tall incarnator in a damaged wingsuit, his armor and body language eerily familiar. It was Angel. Gradually, the others' IDs came into focus, hovering over their heads. Gloom, Paradise, Chekhov, Fury, Talia Winter, and many others whose names I only knew from the First Legion's personnel lists or from ancient legends kept alive by clans.
"Are you ready?"
This was my voice, calm and confident.
"Yes, sir."
They closed in, forming an impenetrable circle around me. Not a pleasant sight. From up close, many of them turned out to be dead bodies very similar to Gnarls. It was as if their flesh had given up, unable to survive incessant mutations, darkness being the only thing that still held their host bodies together.
"Last wishes, anyone?"
Someone gave my shoulder a friendly shove.
"Don't drag it out for crying out loud. We might still see each other if we're lucky."
Prometheus's commenting voice paused as if unsure whether to go on. Then he spoke again.
"There was this monster from over the edge. He gave me a gift which made me much stronger, but it came with strings attached. I failed to kill him. If my plan works, that's something I want you to do for me. That's my personal request. This is why I built the Bullet Star. You and Miko, you'll have to work it out." The gift he gave me was the ability to absorb other creatures' souls. I'm going to rescue the Legion's animas by merging them with mine. That's how powerful spirits are born over the edge. At least, that might allow us to evacuate everyone. That's exactly why I decided to follow the First Legion here. I wanted to give those who'd joined me a second chance. A mass merger like this will inevitably trigger a powerful outbreak. The resulting contact with the Edge will purge your Ontoprians of the Xenocyte. The only problem is, a human being can't survive it. As a side effect, it will also reset my identity back to its basal settings, essentially creating a new identity with my soul at its base. My only hope lies in eventual animification, plus the neural seals that might help me to retrieve my memory and make it to the nucleus. Once back on Earth, we might use the gauntlet to reverse the merging process and separate the Inca's souls. But it will most likely damage our own anima irreparably. So before you embark on it, I suggest you weigh up all the pros and cons and try to complete the most important missions before taking that route.
The Incas surrounding me stood silent as if waiting for something to happen. And I did something incredible, something beyond powerful. I became a source of blinding blue light, instantly flooding the place with its unbearably dazzling radiance. The surrounding Incas convulsed within the light, screaming silently in torturous agony. I could see their spectral lookalikes leaving their writhing host bodies, drawn to me by an unknown force which wrenched them out of their own shells. It was a terrible sight. The abandoned host bodies collapsed to the ground like broken dolls, their flesh, armor, and their very physical nature disintegrating into shallow puddles of darkness which eventually vanished, melting away. Everything around me was melting, as if unable to resist the furious blue light. Now I was surrounded by a swarm of souls circling me, disappearing within me one after another, merging into one single soul like countless mirror images. This endless influx of entities adding to me and altering me with every new moment. The one who used to be me screamed, becoming equally ethereal, surrounded by a boundless, bright blue space, infinite like the cosmos itself, and so terrible that a single glance at it would plunge one into the depths of insanity. The blue light expired. Once again, I could see the inside of the sarcophagus and the black coffins of cryopods. One of them accepted my body, even though its bed was apparently intended to accommodate a creature of a completely different anatomy. Its black lid clicked shut, submerging me into total darkness. I felt the entire structure shudder in the throes of a launch procedure. I came round. I was still standing inside the nucleus, which had blossomed like a flower, absorbing me whole. I took a step back on legs which still weren't exactly mine, just as the multifaceted golden 3D puzzle of Stellar folded back on itself.
You know enough now. The situation on Earth may have changed a lot since I left. I've no idea of the current lay of the land, so the final decision rests with you. I'll do my best to help you. Don't let me down. Bye.
The neural seal expired. Several new messages glowed bright in my interface. Warning. The system's global settings have been updated. Red alert. The Black Moon. The global mission updated. Blue alert. The Possessed Ones. The global mission updated. New personal mission created. The First Legion. New personal mission created. Bullet Star. New personal mission created. The Dayot. New personal mission created. Grand Legate. Chapter 1. What Prometheus had told me completely changed my understanding of this world, but more importantly, of my own identity. So many times I'd put my life at risk without realizing I'd been playing with the lives of so many others. My anima, Prometheus's soul had become a receptacle holding the souls of all the surviving incarnators of the First Legion. This must have been why I'd so naturally stepped into my role as an incarnator or managed to fly my wingsuit so expertly, and that was probably why the dying Terra had seen Angel instead of me in her vision. Although Prometheus's identity was the one that held all the others together, the merged souls of so many Incas were bound to leave their imprint on it. Now I knew why Zack Carrigan had trusted his intuition. I also knew what Arachne had tried to tell me at the time, and now I also knew what had scared Gnarl so much, and why he'd gone to such lengths trying to win me over. He was too afraid of Stellar's repercussions. I could see now that the old technomancer had really tried to avoid killing me to the very end. Now it stood to reason why Prometheus had felt obliged to ignore the results of the draw and gone to the Black Moon anyway. Prometheus had been the only person who could save the First Legion in case of its defeat, and that was what he'd done. But how many of them were there inside me? Miko covered a delicate cough with a fist. But of course, the answer had been staring me in the face all this time. In order to find out the number of Ontoprions I housed, all I had to do was use the gauntlet on myself. I pressed its cold metal to my chin, activating analysis. Type of object: organic, biological, A-man, incarnator. Class: unknown information. Analysis in progress. Total biomass, 233.68 pounds. Potential losses, 30%. Anima, unknown information. Potential losses, 0%. Ontological prion, alpha plus. Unknown information. Requires separate analysis. Potential losses, 0%. Genetic modifications, unknown information. Requires separate biomass analysis. Potential losses, 90%. Total Azure count, 34,200, to be utilized for disintegration purposes. Azure artifacts, 2. Require separate analysis. Potential losses, 0%. Recyclable materials, 15.24 pounds. Potential losses, 100%. Warning. The disintegrational analysis will result in the object's complete extermination. Some of its components will be irretrievably lost. Warning. Some of the object's characteristics couldn't be identified. Warning. The object's scheme cannot be created. Replication of the object impossible. Warning. The object has been identified as part of the Stellar system. No active missions found. Any hostile actions toward the object, including its disintegration, will be classified as ungrounded aggression. Disintegration cost, 69,000 Azure, including the object's available Azure. Disintegration complete in 3.9 seconds. Would you like to disintegrate the object? It looked like Prometheus hadn't lied to me. He hadn't been bluffing. There was definitely something wrong with me. Neither my A-class nor the number of Ontoprions could be identified. The three question marks could mean anything from 100 to 1,000. Ditto for my anima. The gauntlet just didn't identify it as a single object, either. If it ever had me disintegrated, my soul would be split into a multitude of its components. So, at least I'd found one, albeit admittedly last resort, way to release the souls trapped within me. I aborted disintegration and put the gauntlet away. Its energy levels were hovering dangerously close to zero. Another couple of activations would deplete the artifact's Azure stocks completely, and I had yet to work out how to recharge it. Angel shit, who the hell was I, after all? Sensing my indecision, Miko spoke up, gently but firmly.
You're Gray. Just Gray. You are a new entity with a new soul that Prometheus based on his own anima, weaving all the others into it like the threads of a fine tapestry, each of them bestowing their own gifts on you. I'm with you, Incarnator. I can't see any reason for you to get so worked up about it. We still have lots to do together.
And what's going to happen if we release them?
Gray, I'm sorry. These kinds of processes can be extremely dangerous. There's a high probability that your own Enyo might be ripped apart, in which case we'll most likely die.
That wasn't an option. There had to be some other way. Unexpectedly for myself, I realized that I wouldn't know peace until I'd found it. All those trapped within me, they absolutely had to come back. It was my duty and our main trump card. Even reset to zero, several hundred Incas of the First Legion were the kind of reserve force which could raise the exhausted fratricidal city from its knees. Miko, what do you think about all this? My cogitor heaved a sigh as she synchronized herself with my emotions. She didn't seem too happy with Prometheus's last neural seal either. Still, her voice remained firm.
Gray, I'm proud of you. And of myself, too, just a little bit, because you wouldn't have made it without my help. At least now we know how it all began and how it's supposed to end. So now we need to make it happen, Incarnator.
Still, there was something about all this that kept feeding my paranoia. There were certain inconsistencies about Prometheus's message, something on the instinctive level which I couldn't quite put my finger on. Not once had he shown himself to me. And if all the other Incas around him were infected, he must have been too. The body I'd seen in the sarcophagus had betrayed signs of infection. Could all this have been just a clever trick? One of darkness's schemes aiming to manipulate Stellar's Incas into fitting the Black Moon with a new control nucleus? A cunning plan so it could finish what it had started, destroying planet Earth once and for all?
I agree that some of the details raise questions, Incarnator. There are certain gaps in the timeline of their missions to the Black Moon that we know nothing about. Like, what were they doing there for 90 years? One thing is for sure, your neural seals were set up by a serving Grand Legate. And as we well know, when the Xenocyte infects an Ontoprion, it blocks the Cogitor, disconnecting the infected person from the Stellar system. Which means that at least at the time of setting up those seals, Prometheus was clean. How is it possible, might you ask? Well, I have several working theories. In order of probability, it could be an unknown darkness cleansing ability or the Deat's gift. Alternatively, Prometheus could have set up the seals already after he'd reset himself back to zero over the edge. The list goes on, but basically none of these hypotheses are of any practical value anymore.
Why not?
Because Stellar has already issued new missions which we are now obliged to execute.
Miko was right. My augmented reality interface was blinking with new messages. I touched it to check them out. New mission available. Black Moon. Red Alert. Using any means available, neutralize the effects of the planetary Xeno object Black Moon on planet Earth. Further instructions are classified. Clearance level required. Legate. Warning. Your clearance level has been forcefully modified and added to the system's exception list. Information being updated. Tasks. 1. Deliver Stellar's nucleus to the Black Moon. 2. Connect it to the control circuits of the Atrium of Darkness. 3. Reactivate the controls and destroy the Black Moon by pointing it toward the Sun. Rewards. The survival of planet Earth. Unknown. Unknown. That's right. The system had used Prometheus's instructions to issue a major mission. How interesting. It meant that Grand Legates could, in fact, create or modify alerts by using the nucleus to issue new tasks. That could explain lots of things, like adding me to the system's exception list. Now I could see all the details, even though the system's current clearance level was set at Legate. It also looked like Prometheus had decided to play it safe by not issuing a personal mission to himself, or to myself, rather. Now, even if I died, the surviving Incas would be obliged to complete...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?